Jersey TV.
Uh-oh, Martin's in the dark again. Now don't worry. This won't be like the last video I made in the dark. I was in a bad space that evening. But I came to understand and appreciate even more the value of friendship and the value of the fellowship we have as members of the body of Christ. Genesis 2, verse 9. God made every tree of the garden that was good for food and, listen to this, pleasing to the eye. God made our eyes to imbibe of the beauty of the world. And as I was walking Charles this evening, that's right, my dog Charles, the Shih Tzu, the official mascot of the body of Christ. I don't know if you'll be able to see him. I'm going to put the camera on him. Let's see if you can see him. He's part of the story, kind of. Very peaceful dog. He knows the peace of Christ. I could turn the light on here. I just don't feel like it. Because I'm being primed for the most incredible light, the most incredible glory, the most beautiful cities that I have ever, or you have ever laid eyes on, or that you have ever dreamed of in your wildest imagination. Because eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has in store for us. And I'm talking about the celestial realm. But back to my walk with Charles. It's a nice quiet neighborhood back here. You see that palm tree back there? Folks, I still have not taken it for granted that there are palm trees down here. I came down to live here because of the life, because of the beauty of that tree right there. And the beauty of the animals and the birds and God's creation is just so beautiful. And he made it that way on purpose. Christianity has a tendency to condemn our eyes, to make us question that we should or that we would appreciate beauty in this world, any kind of beauty in this world. And human beings have made some beautiful things. I've been to Las Vegas a few times. To me, but I hate to gamble, I hate casinos, I hate the noise, it's just, I don't know. If you like it, that's fine, I got nothing against it. But the one great thing about Las Vegas is the architecture. The architecture is gorgeous. And God put it in human beings to build and make things that are pleasing to the eye. The temple, it was beautiful. God made it symmetrical, and he made it of quality materials, and he fashioned it so that it was pleasing to the eye. Now, this doesn't take away the value of ugly things. You know, how Paul says, for instance, the foot, those parts of the body which we deem to be inferior because they're not necessarily pleasing to the eye, God gives greater glory to, greater esteem. That principle doesn't change. But the only way that principle has any meaning is if we recognize beauty. Even Paul is basically admitting there that the foot is kind of unseemly. We don't really like to look at it. Well, there are exceptions. I appreciate the female foot. I know that. But generally speaking, the only way that verse about esteeming those things which we deem to be of less value or less beauty, that can only be understood is if we do appreciate beautiful things. God has put it in the heart of humanity to create beautiful art. Some of you out there are artists. Some of you like to draw. Some of you, your medium is clay. Or you make pottery. Or maybe you create beautiful music. This has been built in you by God. Not only does our eye crave to see the beautiful, but our hands desire to make the beautiful. This is why people ideally take care of their bodies, because the human body is beautiful. And it's good to take care of it. It's good to make it look beautiful. All that to say that it is right to appreciate beauty. We should give it its place. God gave it its place in the garden when he himself said, Genesis 2:9, that he made the trees of the garden to be pleasing to the eye. So as I'm walking Charles, I'm looking around my neighborhood, and my neighborhood is very nice. There are people who have a knack for horticulture, for landscaping, and they have spotlights, very beautiful spotlights, and they put them on their palm trees. And it's just very beautiful, and I appreciate it. It's peaceful to look at. It's very calming. It's very soothing. And I noticed, what in the world? I noticed that one of my neighbors redid his driveway. And the driveway is phenomenal. I don't know what these paving stones are, but they're like translucent. I'm going to show you two photos that I just took this evening while I was taking the official mascot of the Body of Christ for a walk. Look at this driveway. It looks like it's wet, but it's not. And it reminded me of the streets of the New Jerusalem, which are like translucent gold. The New Jerusalem is physical. Don't let anyone try to convince you that everything about the New Jerusalem has a spiritual meaning. It may have a spiritual meaning, but it doesn't take away from the physical beauty of it. It is physical and it is beautiful. And the gems that are mentioned in Revelation chapter 21, the precious stones that comprise the New Jerusalem and the 12 gates that are pearls, apparently giant pearls, it's all real. And apparently these precious stones exist in heaven because the New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven. And John is watching it come down out of heaven. And it's not going to sound like that. It's not going to sound like a freaking internal combustion engine. What the hell is this? Freaking helicopter. But that was perfect. Because that is an illustration of ugly noise. And really, ugliness. And the New Jerusalem is not going to sound like that. It's going to sound like this. As it descends from heaven, it'll probably hover once in a while. And then it'll continue on its course down to earth. At least that's what I like to think. If that helicopter circles around here again, I'll soldier on. I will soldier on, believe me. The New Jerusalem comes down out of the celestial realm. This is just one city in the celestial realm. It is my conviction, ladies and gentlemen, that the celestial realm consists of hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of cities like the New Jerusalem. apparently the New Jerusalem, to give an English equivalent to the size, is 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high. It's the 1,500 miles high that blows my mind. That's way past what we would call outer space. Way, way, way past. Do you think that the celestial realms, I suppose I used to think this, I think all of us did, the celestial realms were empty, were like this vast void, maybe the occasional pinprick of light, that it's dead quiet there, cold, boring. This is why a lot of people, not a lot, some people I talk to, they don't want to go to heaven. They want to stay on Earth because they appreciate the beauty of Earth. And they're afraid of the celestial realm because all we know of it is what we see from telescopes, from manned spacecraft, from looking up. And when you look up, what do you see? Yeah, the stars are impressive and the moon's impressive. And when the sun's out, it's impressive. Don't look directly at it. But otherwise, it appears to be a black void. But we have an intimation that it's not. And that intimation is the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of the realm we are going to. Do you really think that when the New Jerusalem descends from the celestial realm, that there are no more cities in the celestial realm? The celestial realm is spiritual as can be, but again, spiritual does not mean ethereal. Spiritual does not necessarily mean not physical. I've reminded you of this many times, and now is a good time to remind you again that the implements of the tabernacle system, the implements of the temple that the priests used, were holy, and they were spiritual, but they were as physical as can be. There are physical cities, I believe, in the celestial realm that could possibly even dwarf the New Jerusalem that descends from heaven. There will be lights unimaginable. There will be streets unimaginable, dwelling places, squares, theaters, my imagination, which is fairly rich, fails me. Suffice it to say that the God who made trees and fruit in the Garden of Eden, the God who took the trouble to make those trees and that fruit pleasing to the eye, and the earth being but a speck of humiliation, really, a humiliating speck back in the universe, do you think that that God, who cares so much about the beauty of trees, would fail to decorate the celestial Empyrean with beauty that we have not yet begun to comprehend? And is it possible that the New Jerusalem, as glorious, as beautiful, as translucent, as precious, as amazing to the eye as it is but a hint, is a scaled down version of the cities that we will inhabit, that we will rule over, that we will travel between? We talk about moving at the speed of thought, at the speed of light. And I suppose that there will be no limit to our ability to travel in that realm. But I also like to think, maybe this is just me, but I would like to slow down a little bit. I don't necessarily want to travel at the speed of light. What if I want to stroll down a translucent road? Like in The Wizard of Oz, when Dorothy, the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, and the Cowardly Lion are on that yellow brick road and they see Oz in the distance with its glimmering, sparkling towers. Towers! Men in this world build towers. Why? It is in them to do it. God gave them the desire. Nimrod was the first Nimrod to do it, building the Tower of Babel. But it was too early for that. It was too early. God didn't want it, so he squashed the plan. But it is in the architects of earth to send these skyscrapers soaring. And there's some beautiful cities in this broken world, even in the broken world. Columbus, Ohio, when you're coming in from the south on I-71 at night, it's beautiful. Miami, when you're looking across Biscayne Bay from Key Biscayne, it's beautiful. But these are just faint suggestions of the beauty that we will inhabit. Not only inhabit, but rule over and travel in between. And in the Book of the Unveiling, we learn that there are 24 elders. And 24 is double 12. Whenever you see the number 12 in the scripture, it is indicative of rule. Because we have the 12 apostles, 12 tribes of Israel. There are 12 gates on the New Jerusalem. It has to do with government. And yet the celestial realm, we have 24 elders. It's double. And I believe these elders perhaps represent 24 sectors in the celestial realm. Celestial capitals. It's not empty. Far from empty. And it's not quiet. Far from quiet. It's filled with joyful noise and beaming lights. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, and my mouth has been doing a terrible job of trying to describe what God has prepared for us.